Mesmerized Cave Dragons 36. 1. Saran's cry ripped through Miraman and jerked him upright in his cave, his whirling eyes so bright they made the morning light seem dim. He moved toward his ledge and launched in flight like other dragons from their sheer cliff caves. The sky was filled with dragons, colorful and urgent, as they flew toward Saran. As Merman flew violently toward the cottage where the witch's child was braving the harshness of the winter's cold and wind, he saw an image of Shrinnok, black wings a smudge above the icy mountain peaks, imagining his victory against Saran and Merman, his mind still not aware of all the forces lining up against the brightness of his shining dreams. Then heart beats wild. He felt the place devoid of substance, where grim shades gloomed in the dusk. He felt disintegrating history as dragons failed into miasmas cold. He almost plummeted to earth to see Saran upon the ground beside a whirling, wild dance of colors where the human girl was changing from a human's frail, small shape into a dragon's powerful, full form. The girl was melding spindly bones and flesh into hard scales that shined with rainbow light that caught the morning sun and danced and whirled with making so unnatural and weird it made him want to flee to memories where life was how it ought to be and weirding was more legend than reality. He roared so loud he thought he'd strained his lung. But then he heard the other roars surrounding the place of transformation, heard the fear that raged into the morning's clear, clean sky. He spread his wings and landed as 100 great dragons found a place to place their legs. What madness had inhabited the world? The dragon sat inside a massive circle around the human girl and felt her melding as power danced out of her human heart into the thunder of a dragon's heart. As time coagulated form, then flowed into the swirl of being, nothingness around the rainbow dragon, human girl. Saran began to hum deep in her chest, her song so deep it throbbed out of her bones. The song memed out into the other dragons, their voices oscillating through the snow. The earth caught in the miracle, arising from where the nexus of the ether world had linked into a weirding of reality. The thrumming dragon song reverberated off mountain peaks and echoed through the caves that sang the song into the valleys far from where Saran and Mirman sat stunned upon the plateau climbing to the mountain. What madness had inhabited the world? Huge dragons, rainbow-colored like small hills upon the whiteness of a winter's snows. Around a rainbow swirl, a burning light shaped like a dragon never seen before in all the space or time. Hum dragon songs that seem to fill the universe in time and where the chaos of the swirling souls spun emptily past dragon memory. 2. What have I done, Riatha thought. I am the golden dragon that had made him run away from her so long ago came down and landed in the snow beside the child, transforming from a small girl human shape into a swirl of light now dragon shaped. And then another dragon landed, then another, wings so loud it made him deaf to any other sound. The dragons closed around him, breath so loud it made him feel as if he chanced a storm too powerful to live through if he stayed in place without a shelter from the winds. But not one dragon even looked at him. They landed, whirling eyes fixed on the light that burned a rainbow dragon's hearts alive into a life that could not really be. Arthur dropped his bow into the snow and turned toward the forest evergreens around the cottage's stone earthen walls. He moved around the dragons one by one. They did not threaten him or even see that he was like an ant inside their midst. He felt the emptiness inside of him, the absence of the spirit bear who'd lived inside his body longer than he'd dreamed. He thought about Ran, her dark disgust at how a man she loved could dream of killing a child he'd never known or even met. How could he have become that evil man? What madness had inhabited his world? The dragons did not frighten him or make him feel the way it felt the night the great black dragon had attacked him by the ledge. He felt confused, afraid of whom he'd been. He stopped. He could not go back to the village. He'd never wanted anything so bad. He wanted to forget the witch's child burned like a brand inside his tortured spirit and go back to the days when he had been a hunter bringing game to feed the people depending on the skills he'd honed from childhood. What had he done to him, he asked himself. Inside the trees, he still maneuvered slowly around the dragons, mesmerized in snow.